so we flexin'. Gave us the power, so we flexin'. He's showing out, that's why we flexin'. Yo, 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 we are back. Episode 10 of season 2 of the Not The Same Podcast sports show, hosted by this one word, yeah. C. Micah, and that one word over there, Mr. Rob Redeem. We're glad, sir. Gracious, and very, very, very happy to be back with y'all with another Not The Same Podcast sports show. Glad and gracious, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, man, very, very glad and gracious to be back with y'all for another Not The Same Podcast show, sports show, man. So many things going on in the world of sports, and we are happy to be back with you. With that being said, man, please do what you see on the screen in about, I don't know, whenever it get ready, because, you know, it take your time. Yeah, hit that like button if you are watching us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or any other pirated stream. Go and hit the like button if you get a like button, basically. Next, if you have not subscribed to Not The Same Podcast like a lot of other people have, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Smash the like button, as they say on the YouTubers say, smash that like button. You know, I wish I had that zoom in button where they zoom in all quick. Smash the like button. No, just hit the like button, dog. We ain't all extra. And last, hit that notification bell so you can be notified when we are live on those off times or these three show weeks. Like yesterday when we had another Bible study, if you missed it, man, go back and catch the replay. I myself think it was very, very good because I feel like the Lord moved, man. So if you are needing Bible study, man, check it out. Me and my brother went in last night, and that's it, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, we want to give a shout out to our rebroadcasters, man. Our MTMV family, we appreciate the love that they show on a regular basis, man. We're a part of that. You know what I mean? And all the family over there doing things, the 494, the main card.
Yes, sir. Big salute to them.
Pretty Girl Loves Sports, yeah. Sports Talk with C. We want to just give a shout out to those because they are part of the umbrella of the MTMV FAMO, and they are peoples. You dig what I'm saying? So shout out to the MTMV FAMO, Live Show TV, Takeover Radio, Praise 365, Scooter Radio, as well as Parable Radio, RYC Praise News, His Hop Radio and Podcast Network, and the 520 Collective. Those are the five. Sir. Those are the rebroadcasters of the Not The Same Podcast.
And if you are in a local STL St. Louis area and you like Christian hip hop, man, tune in from 10 to 3 to catch our brother Scooter, man. Just got up. This brother just hit the big ranks. If you know Scooter, if you're in the local area, you heard of a brother named Scooter. You have heard his name plenty of times. So this brother has been all kind of radio stations on internet and all that. And this brother was destined for this position. So I just want to give my brother some love, man, because he's been on that level for years. And that's exactly where that brother should be, man. So
everybody else is just not recognizing.
Yeah. I'm glad they finally woke up. You know what I'm saying? Big salute to Scooter, for real. All right, man, without further ado, let's go on getting to this. What's good, bro? I mean, what's popping? My bad. What's popping? One word. What's popping? All right, let's get started with the what's popping. If y'all want to know what we said in the background, I asked my brother Rob, why did I turn on the Snoop voice? Went from what's popping to what's popping, my G.
I don't know, it just happened.
Mr. G, what's up, brother?
That boy hit the shizzle my nizzle real quick.
I almost said it. All right, man, what's up, D? Good to see you, sis. Mr. G says, glad to see Rob stepped away from the ledge, and shout out to Duke. He ain't stepped nowhere. That brother is still here. He ain't going nowhere.
Hey, look, man, we seen him in person. Hey, win, lose, or draw, we there. And guess what? Nobody expected us to get to the Sweet 16, Elite 8, or any of those things. So the fact that we got as far as we did, we winning. Okay, next. Let's go, man. What's popping?
Great season for Duke, man. All right, man. Let's get it started, man. We're going to start with our top three plays. And we got a whole new little setup right quick, man. I'm going to show you something right quick, Rob. Let y'all see these top three plays.
Hey, move that bottom piece, bro.
Brother, just look. Look, brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We just talked. So, of course, Luka with the scoop, man. Number three on the no particular. We got Luka with the scoop because Luka always do the Don type stuff. Then we got my man. Of course, we took out the commentary, but we got my man, Edwards.
Look at him. Look at him.
Over there in Minnesota doing his thing. And then after he get this dunk one more time.
Right.
Racket, we got to give our girls some love, man, at number one. All nine of them things. Kaitlyn Clark on fire. The three, she lit up LSU. If y'all have not been watching women's college basketball, Why? And tune in this weekend for the Caitlin Clark killed it, bro. Like, all these are her 9 threes that she hit. Yes. Go back for the replay. If I miss one, so what? One word. Y'all see the one she did. That is the top three. Hey, look, man. We want to give a shout out. We're trying to do something new with our top three.
Yes,
I don't want to put the commentary in there, because if we put the commentary in there, then we violating.
And we ain't trying to get flagged.
We ain't trying to get flagged, and then the whole episode go black. But shout out to the top three this week. Luka, Dedan, you dig what I'm saying, from the three-point line with the scoop, finger roll. Yeah. Then you had Anthony Edwards, Minnesota Timberwolves, with the dunk. He's always beasting up. He was number one last week. And then Caitlin Clark breaking an NCAA record, and I'll talk about it in a minute, or tying an NCAA record with 9 threes in an Elite Eight game. And she just lit LSU up, man, like nobody's business. She was like the Steph Curry of basketball the other night against LSU, man. Caitlin Clark did her thing with 42 points.
Who was your number one?
Caitlin. I got to get a Caitlin, man.
Yeah.
Because – Caitlin Ellis, she had 42 points, 12 assists, and I want to say 7 rebounds. Don't quote me on the stats, but I know 42 is correct. Yeah. And the bottom line is this, man. LSU on paper had the better team. You know what I mean? On paper, they had the better players with Flaje and Angel Reese. And you only thought it was Caitlin Clark. But in watching that game, I realized Iowa has way more than just Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is the decoy, and if you don't stop the threes, the 9 threes you just saw on the top three plays that we have, she kicks it out. It was just Picasso. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm laughing, Mr. G Boo. Hashtag hate Clark spelled incorrectly. That's how much he hate her. But I'm gonna say this, man. He said LSU coach sold that game. Now I'm just gonna say my top three. My top. I'm gonna say Caitlin Clark too. And not for the total what she made, but for that second half. Because the first half, Angel Reese, before she twisted her ankle,
Angel
Reese would have had the top. Top play, but she was the MVP, in my opinion, until she twisted her ankle, because she was a beast out there.
And no doubt.
17-20 on a hurt ankle is ridiculous. But for Caitlin Clark to come out there in that third quarter and take over, that was different. You know, so salute to her, and I'll leave it at that, man. All right, man, let's go and get into NCAA news. We switched it up. We're going to do it different because the top – what's leading everything right now is women's basketball. Go ahead, bro. I know
we're going to start with the women. So, look, the Final Four is set in Cleveland. You dig what I'm saying? Cleveland is the city that it come from. So, run. You dig what I'm saying?
Little you said that too good, bro. Too good.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is they in Cleveland. Ain't nothing for them to do to play basketball. Them girls won't be getting in trouble in Cleveland. That's all
I can
tell
you. Listen to Joakim Noah. Who takes a vacation in Cleveland? Nobody. That's what Joakim Noah said back in the day.
Only thing you got is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Final Four for the females this year. Look, South Carolina number one against NC State. Both NC State men and women, I'll talk about this, made the Final Four. And then on the side, you got number one Iowa and number three UConn, which a men's team are also in the Final Four. So that's what's going over in Cleveland. I want to give a big shout out. We've been talking about her all season long. Y'all missed her. Y'all going to have to catch her on her sophomore season. Juju Watkins, man, became the first freshman to ever score 900 plus points in a season. Shout out to Juju Watson. This is the one thing I want to say, man. The passion that she had. I don't mind seeing people cry when they lose. Mm-hmm. That's not a sore loser. That's showing me that you got passion for the game that you play as opposed to worrying about your NIL deal. That means that you still have love for the game. So shout out to Juju Watkins doing everything that she did. I want to give a shout out to Caitlin Clark for 9 trays and the plethora of records she done broke this year. But 9 trays in the Elite Eight is a record. And Angel Reese declared for the WNBA draft. She's out of there. Now, this is what I'm going to say, WNBA. Y'all trash. To give that woman 48 hours to make a decision, and the Final Four ain't even been played, the championship ain't been played, and she had 48 hours to make a decision if she was going to declare or not, I think that's trash. Y'all put pressure and fire under this young lady to say, hey, either you're coming or you ain't. And I don't think that's fair. Y'all should have let her be able to at least process the loss. You dig what I'm saying? And what she wanted to do. And they didn't do that. Other things in NCAA news, what's going on with the nose ring with my girl from Notre Dame? Y'all made her take out the nose ring in the Sweet 16. She had it all season long, all tourney long. And then we get to the Sweet 16, and now she bleeding on the floor. She missed about 5 minutes or so, and Notre Dame ended up losing that game. The other thing, the three-point line. Y'all can't – you got one job.
Trash.
You couldn't get the three-point line. And
Portland,
so,
what's wrong with you? Portland, what is wrong with you?
Portland, I don't get it. That's why you didn't host the Final Four. You dig what I'm saying? Because you was doing foolery like this where the three-point line was different, and it caused the other team to lose. Now, granted, both teams had an opportunity to have a shorter three-point line, and they agreed to play. But they didn't agree to play. You know what happened? Oh, y'all playing this game. We got too much on the line. It's too many people watching. You dig what I'm saying? So they had to play with that. So, not WNBA, NCAA women, come on, get it together. Y'all starting to act like y'all big sisters in the WNBA and not caring about these young ladies, and I don't appreciate that. But that's your women's college basketball news right there.
Hey, let me say something about the women's before you go to the men's. One thing I say about the women's, big shout-out to Juju Watkins. I know you said that earlier, but you're going to have to – these people that call in the middle of the show, I love y'all, but why y'all call – y'all know I'm doing the show. Y'all know. Anyway, shout out to Juju Watkins, man. Juju, if you watch her play, she is so smooth.
Boy, she is so smooth.
Like, listen, Caitlin is awesome. But Caitlin ain't, with them handles ain't pure, right? She kind of dribble like Bob Cousy a little bit.
Yeah, Juju. She got that little irky jerk. Yeah.
Yeah, and she kind of hunched over, you know, kind of one-handed. And, you know, she surprised you with the little, her handles ain't that great. But Juju like a dude out there. Like, she's so smooth with it, bro. Like, the steps back, the side steps and all that, man. So, big salute to women's basketball. I want to just give a special shout out to Juju Watkins, man. She is nice, and she's going to be she's a freshman. All that hype to Caitlin Clark, she by the time she get a senior, that's going to be like the new Caitlin Clark. You know what I'm saying? Except she's going to be more dynamic.
Listen, bro. She scored 900 points in her freshman season. She's breaking
dog.
Records.
Yeah.
To think if she doesn't have any injuries and she go through pure, Juju Watkins have an opportunity to break those records. The Kelsey Plums, now the only way she won't catch Caitlin is because she don't shoot as many threes.
Right.
But she is definitely pure, man. And to score 900 points passing Cheryl Miller of the USC. I mean, just shout out, women's basketball is so hot right now. You can't even get a Final Four ticket. Their tickets is more than the men out, what we're about to talk about now, the Final Four for the men out in Phoenix.
Yeah, and as we transition,
as we transition over to that, check this out, man. Men's Final Four is set. My Duke Blue Devils got beat by NC State. It's all good because I didn't expect them to get to the Final Four. Heck, I didn't expect them to get to the Elite Eight. So for them to get to the Elite Eight the way they did, the only reason we got there, and I'm going to be honest with you because I'm true. If Houston player wouldn't have got hurt, you wouldn't have saw Duke. They would have been gone. You dig what I'm saying? But, look, in the loss, we doing McCain had 32 in our loss, and we did our thing, and it was not a bum season. We made it to the Elite Eight. We defied the odds. But we're talking about the Final Four right now. Number one, UConn gets ready to take on number four, Alabama. And UConn, defending champions, is going into this. And what I really, really want to see, yes, Z-Bo, definitely. Yeah. NC State,
Z-Bo got
that
a kid
is Z-Bo
out there.
Jr.
He looked
let me
like
tell you something. They better do a DNA test because that boy got a baby out there. And he played for NC State.
Yes,
I'm telling y'all right now.
He did some dirt down there in North Carolina, dog. I'm sorry.
Hey, he did something when they was playing solid. I'm telling you,
dog. He met somebody out there. Anyway, go ahead, bro.
Anyways, or he was trying to sign an artist on his label when he was out there in Charlotte, and then this one came.
That's what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Anyhow, all jokes aside, NC State played Purdue. In my opinion, I didn't talk about the women's. In my opinion, what I do want to see is Purdue versus UConn. I don't want to see Alabama. I don't want to see NC State. I want to see number one versus number one because UConn is a beast. Same way over on the women's side. I don't want to see Iowa versus South Carolina. I want to see UConn versus South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's just what I want to see because I feel like UConn would be a better matchup than Iowa and South Carolina. I think South Carolina on the women, I'm going back to the women's side. I think South Carolina will bully ball the heck out of Caitlin Clark and her girls. Compared to with UConn, with Coach G, and the way to go about doing it. But we'll see. Over on the men's side, I want to see, of course, UConn again.
Yeah.
And I want to see Purdue. because Purdue got a chip on their shoulder. And I respect that because they've had an attitude this entire tournament and they've been about the business.
100%. Yeah, man, I will say this, man. Something that happened in that game against Illinois. It's UConn versus Illinois. UConn went on a 30-0 run to beat Illinois. Illinois had the number one offense in all the NCAA. Bruh. Locked them boys up. 30-0 run.
Brother, 30-0 is crazy.
Listen, there's a one word of the day today, but we have multiple opportunities for one word. One of them, the coach of that team, he said, what we're going to do, we're going to keep driving at 7-2, 7-3, clinging, and we're going to test them. And they got blocked over and over and over again.
No
all
adjustment.
Right, dude, you got a 7-2 dude that can block your shot, and you just keep running the ball in there. That's just so dumb to me. Stupid.
Yeah,
you know
no adjustments.
No adjustments, man. And that's why they lost.
No nothing. Only timeouts them boys took on that 30-0 run with TV timeouts.
Yeah, that's
like,
nuts,
come on,
man.
Come on, bro. 30-0?
Come on, dog. 30-0? That's embarrassing, dog.
Bro.
That's embarrassing. Yeah.
Go sit down.
And one last thing, because we may not talk about it later on the women's, man. Kim Mulkey, why you didn't get the ball out of what's-her-name hand, bro? Like,
yeah.
Look, old girl is awesome, bro.
Kaylin
is awesome. But there's this thing where you call – deny the ball. Why you got 5'7" Haley Van Lith on a 6-foot guard when you had Flajay, who's Flajay like 6'2"? You know what I'm saying? Athletic. Why wouldn't Flajay?
She was in foul trouble. That's what they was afraid of.
You trying to go home or you trying to win? I get that on the first half. Soon as the second half happened, that's it. No more. And Haley Van Lith getting lit up. Lighting her tail up, getting
embarrassed
so bad, she did a shoulder shrug like Mike. Except she wasn't the one scoring; she was getting scored on. She looked at, what can I do?
What can I do?
And that's coaching, man. That's terrible coaching, man. All right,
but
bro.
On the other thing on Mulkey though, I got to give her props for taking up for her
What's
girls,
up,
though, man.
Yeah,
like I got to give her props for taking up for her girls because everybody been attacking the mess out of them, making this a black and white thing. This whole. And this is the part that ticks me off about sports. You got to make it about black and white as opposed to just making it about sports, man.
Come on, bro.
And it always ends up being about black and white. Caitlin Clark, they're the pure and white because the team is predominantly white against the black, the evil,
dirty
the dirty. Yeah,
why
dirty
would you call them
times, like they said Come when on, they bro. Went up against UCLA. And I just don't like the narrative that the media paints when it come to black athletes, bro. Mm-hmm. Like it makes me, they're passionate, but they're not considered passionate. Caitlin Clark cries like LeBron. She complains like nobody else. She talks mad noise and it's passion. And you get LSU and they're the villains.
Yeah,
they the one
classless.
Word.
They had classless. No class. That's what they say. They
you know what I'm saying?
Coded, and I coded just told, language.
It's still going on today. Mm-hmm. And for those people who are racism, man, go sit your tail down. I deal with it at work. These girls dealt with it on a national level, dealing with sports. And it's still there, man. And it's sad that these young women have to go through that. And it took away from the game. Like, even the commentary, Rebecca Lobo and some other cat. Rebecca Lobo seemed to stay pretty even keel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because she played women's basketball both at a high level, college and WNBA. But this other client, you can tell he was.
Ryan
if
Rucco.
I would have played the commentary, if I would have played the commentary for those 9-3s, if you would have heard how he was chest riding, because I can't say the other word on Caitlin Clark.
hold on, I gotta give my brother one for that one. My brother, go ahead.
It was ridiculous. It was like he was too excited. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, America, we yeah.
Gotta do better. Gotta do better.
Yeah,
all right,
we got
man.
To. Let me
NBA
go ahead.
News,
NBA
power
news.
Ranking, brother. Yeah.
Power rankings, man. Listen, Nuggets is number one. Celtics number two. Thunder number three. T-Wolves at number four. We got the Bucks at number five, and they had a horrible win. Loss against the Wizards last night. Mavs at number six. Pelicans seven. Clippers at eight. Followed by the Suns and the Knicks. In other NBA news, Rondo, I don't know who, I thought he already was retired, but for those who didn't know, Rondo officially retired from the NBA. He said he's done. One word, we thought you was done 2 years ago.
You've
been
done.
From
they told
you
you're done.
Done. Yeah, but hey, however it goes. Anyway, Carl Anthony Towns, he's saying he could return after the playoffs because, you know, Embiid came back last night and looked pretty good. With Embiid coming back, they beat the Thunder last night, who didn't have SGA.
No.
So now the Nuggets are back number one, a half a game above the Thunder. Yeah, the West is crazy right now. Brunson went for a career-high 61 points. But let me tell y'all something. That talented loser down there in San Antonio, Wemby, and I call him the talented loser because the Spurs is horrible. That boy had 40, 20, and 7 in that same game. Right. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Lindsey Harding. She was the coach of the year of the G League. She became the first black woman as a head coach in the G League to win coach of the year. And she coached Sacramento Kings G League affiliate, which is the what is the name of that team? The Stockton Kings. That's what they are. Stockton Kings to the best record of 24-10. So shout out to Lindsey Harding and all females doing innovative things, bro. Like that's real, real big. Kind of like Becky Hammond when she won the Summer League, but this is with the G League. So that's like second class. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And lastly, NFL news.
NFL news. Brother, brother, brother. Go ahead and kick it off, brother. I'm sorry.
Stephon Diggs gets traded today. He was with the Buffalo Bills. He got traded to the Houston Texans as well as for two other picks that were not number one picks. So, you know.
No, second round
picks. So, Stephon Diggs. But, you know, quick thoughts on that trade, and that's the main thing that's really happening in NFL news, as well as they're getting ready for the drafts later this month. But for right now, the Stephon Diggs trade really, really helps the Texans, in my opinion, because C.J. Stroud was already awesome. He had a great team. And I think that's just adds to the team. I think I like their coach, and I like the culture that they have down there. And they're in the AFC
South. They're in a pretty easy division. CJ Stroud, they shot Cleveland last year. I don't care what y'all say. I know Masai's Envy wasn't playing and your boy. You know what I mean? If y'all know who Masai's Envy is, just think about the quarterback who liked the Masai's down in Houston who got traded to Cleveland. Then he goes to Cleveland. They come down to Texan. CJ Stroud looked good. The only reason CJ Stroud didn't get past it, they went up against Jackson, man. You're not beating Lamar Jackson. And they beat the sleeves off them boys. But if you're going to give C.J. Stroud another weapon, I think this could be the year for them to come out the AFC South and be not a wild card, but actually win the division. So shout out to the Texans for making that move, man. And only had to give up a second round and I think a sixth or seventh round in order to get Diggs down there.
All right, man, let's get into our soap.
Soapbox.
All right, this is our soapbox segment when me and Rob go off for 2 minutes on particular subjects that we want to go off on. Rob normally goes off on sports subjects. I normally go off on real life subjects. Sometimes it's a switch, sometimes it's different. We have a time that looks like this, and when it's over, we have a buzzer that sounds a little bit like something right here. By tradition, I always let my brother Rob Redeem go first. My brother, is you ready? What's up, Cortez? Good to see you, my brother.
Tez, what's good, man? Hey, look, man, I'm going to tell you what my problem is. And Tez came in right at my soapbox. This is one of his favorite segments of the Not the Same podcast.
Said,
shout out to
timing.
My boy. We shot the video soapbox, shameless plug. But my point that I want to put out there is this. The racism that's going through right now in the NCAA. I am so sick and tired of white versus black. Good versus bad, hood versus suburbs.
Yes.
And what it causes is division amongst the teams. These teams, regardless if you think so or not, Iowa do have some black people on their team. Just so happen, Stokey is black. You know, whether they mix or whatever the case may be. Stokey, she's right there. And my point that I'm making is this. It's the narrative that they paint. Everybody, it always has to be a bad team. It always has to be a bad guy team. And right now, NC State is the villains, and Duke is the good team because Duke is the upper echelon of, and I'm a Duke fan. I'm just sick and tired of, if you're going to get a narrative, man, just talk about the school history. Stop making these kids, because we forget they kids because they playing sports and jumping out the gym and doing these amazing plays over the next couple of weeks or whatever the case may be. I'm just sick and tired of, when it comes to college basketball, college football, they make it about black and white. You know what I mean? And they make it about upper class and lower class, and they try to divide it. And I saw so much of it throughout this NCAA tournament, and I'm just sick and tired of it, man. And nobody ever calls it out. Every now and then they do, but then they allow a reporter to write a subject or write a piece on it, or they allow one of the reporters in the locker room to ask a stupid question. Mm-hmm. So growing up in the inner city, that has nothing to do with nothing. One word, they hear at this time.
Nothing.
Who cares about how they grew up? Talk about that on a whole different. Ask them how they felt about getting to this point as opposed to how they grew up. I'm sorry, man. I can go on and on with that, but that's my soapbox. Stop the foolery of black and white, upper class, lower class, whenever you get the opportunity in the NCAA tournament, man.
Now, this is going to sound like over-redundancy, but I have just about the exact same soapbox. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep on talking about it. Bro, what I hate about this, I was watching the game for Iowa versus LSU on Monday, and what Rob was just talking about, the whole narrative from all the announcers, from everybody talking about it, it was like, it was basically private school versus public. And if you watch high school basketball, it's always like that. Like here, we say one of the Hazelwoods versus Chaminade or something. And, you know, the Hazelwood people going to get painted one way, and the Chaminade going to get painted another way. Or nothing like that. Something like that is steadily happening. And I don't like it, man. Like, I think, can we just watch the game? For the new people, like, the women's basketball has so many new eyes right now. Like we talked about earlier, they had 12.3 million people watch it on Monday.
Yeah, man.
So many eyes. Why do we want to start with racism? I don't get it. And I know Rob just talked about this, but it was my soapbox, so I'm going in. Why do we have to start with that? Why can't we just celebrate how dope these women are? Why can't we celebrate how good these women are? This is not old school women's basketball. No, these women can hoop, not play hoop. Now, one reason Iowa probably has a lot of white people. Have you been to Iowa?
Yeah, I'm going this weekend.
Right. That's just the demographic of the place. You know what I'm saying? It would look goofy for Iowa to have like a whole team full of us. And they can walk around Iowa, they're going to feel totally uncomfortable. They may not be happy with that environment. So it's not just automatically, it's not a lot of black people there because everybody racist. It may be just because there's a lot of white people. Or they could be racist. But what that got to do with basketball? The whole point of it need to be, what is going on with the game? I hate negative publicity when it goes to announcing by the announcers, when they try to sway you one way. Let me pander to this side because I kind of agree with this side. Just call the game, one word. Call the game, please.
All right. Hold on before you go. Hit your buzzer, but I want to answer Kagan's question. Hagan's asked me because I was on the black quarterback. Hagan's, I want to put this out there. What I'm saying is exactly what I've been saying for months now about the black quarterback. They paint the black quarterback as not being smart, intelligent, able to do this, that, and the third. They only can run. They're athletic. They can't throw. They don't stay in the pocket.
Yeah.
In college basketball, because Hagans, I know you really don't watch college basketball, they've been painted where it's good versus evil. All white team versus a black team. So when I can't think of it. Who was that? Yale. When Yale beat Auburn, they was happy because Yale is smart. Intelligent, you know what I'm saying? That's an intelligent type school that shouldn't be Auburn in this tournament, and they made a very big deal for the next game, Yale to get blown the heck out. You dig what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. They take these narratives about smart, dumb, public, private, white, black, and they make that the story as opposed to just talking about the Cinderella story. When it was a bunch of upsets, and we played this on our replay, and I know we kind of going over, we played this on our replay about all the double-digit upsets, and the first thing they said, this lower school shouldn't have played. Let me tell y'all something about NIL deals and all of this. These lower schools have hoopers. Just because you don't know they school don't mean they ain't got players. And anybody like me and C, you can go to any court, and it'll look like it's a scrub team. But if them boys can hoop, they can hoop, especially if they know how to play together. And that's what I mean by that when I was – no, so I just don't like – I don't like what they doing in the media on that.
Let's get in the debate feud segment. All right, this is our debate fuel segment where me and Rob go back and forth over particular subjects, like what you see on the screen, not the one we about to go in. And we have a timer that looks like this. We go for 5 minutes. We're going to go 5 minutes with this. We're going to start with the subject, kind of what we was going on. Angel Reese shares that she's that she feels she's been unfairly harassed online. Thoughts? Now, I'm going to give a backstory before you go into it. The backstory is Angel Reese is a very flamboyant basketball player. She talks a lot of junk on the court. She hollers, she yells, she screams. She basically plays like, y'all not going to like this because she's not masculine, but like a dude. When she on that court, ain't no friends. And that's the way she plays.
Like that,
but
boy.
She talked about she's been in her post-game, post-conference afterwards, and some of her coach and Flage spoke up for her. Like, you know, she's been attacked a lot online, and she was kind of acting like it was affecting her in a negative way. She started crying. So, thoughts, bro?
My thoughts is I don't doubt that a 19, 20-year-old young lady is affected by what social media says. Why? Because we're in the age of social media. Look, mm-hmm. It affects me if somebody's had something negative to say and I know I'm going out there and I'm giving my heart and I'm giving my all to my situation and how I come to work and how I present myself just for somebody to destroy it or discredit it by the words that they say or an opinion that they may have. Mm-hmm. Look, this woman has received death threats. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Come on, man. We talking about teenagers, early 20s, receiving death threats because you run your mouth mm-hmm. and play ball. And when I say mm-hmm. run your mouth, we chirp. Play me in 100%. Ball. Let me and C be on the same squad and we playing you. Oh, we chirping. Because that's just the competitiveness
yes.
of basketball. I could be playing my kids. They chirping mm-hmm. at me. And C have seen this. Mm-hmm. We chirping at each other. Step up. What you doing? All right, Pop, what you doing?
Right.
That's
right.
Just the way it goes. And I just don't like it. And the reason they're upset is because last year,
mm-hmm.
she beat that Great White Hope.
Mm-hmm. That's what G was talking about.
Yeah. I said it last week, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think I'm torn on this on one way. I understand when people kind of look at her and they like, come on now. Now you crying and you talking all that. But here's the reality. I would say this. I understand it because I played ball, right? And I'm not going to say just because you didn't play ball, you don't understand it. But I have a different, for me personally, I have a different understanding of that. Because when you play ball, some people have to talk to get their edge, right?
Jordan like, did it.
Yeah, Jordan make up enemies to get an edge, to get themselves hyped up as part of ball. You know what I'm saying? And we cannot say, without a shadow of a doubt, that them comments that's coming to her are not racist. We know most of them are. And you can be like half thick skin, toughen up, act like you do on the court until you go through it constantly, all the time. Like, I don't receive nowhere near the criticism that woman receives. We as a show and as a company don't receive nowhere near the criticism that woman receives. And I don't know what it's like. Do I think she going to have to deal with it? 100%. She going to have to deal with it. But do I empathize with what's going on? I do empathize with it. But when I get through, if I was there, I'd be like, yeah, I feel you, little mama. But you're going to have to deal with this. You on the big dog now. You on the stage, and this is what's going to happen. And you can do like Mr. G say, turn them comments off, shut down your DMs, and do what you got to do. Now, I know he said it wouldn't have been brought up if she won. Of course not. But it doesn't mean that her feelings are invalid, though. That's what we got to be careful of. I'm not trying to correct you, Mr. G. I'm just saying, in my opinion, what we got to be careful of is like, okay, now you present yourself as a villain. You got to be in that all the time and not have feelings. That's a woman. At the end of the day, she is a woman. And women have feelings, just like men do. And I think somebody should be free to their feelings and not do it just for attention. Because if she played like crap, then I'd say she's doing it for attention. No, she balled. She left it all on the court. So I ain't going to sit up and say she did this just for attention. I don't think so. I just think that's how she felt. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, and here's the thing. She did leave it out on the court, and I think that was the point. Like, look, I've been balling. I leave it out on the court. But let me mm-hmm. tell y'all what I had to go through in order to get this. Winning that championship was the worst thing in the world. Now that I've lost, all these people who have been saying this to me, they're happy I'm out. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've been going through. And I think that's the reason she brought it up, because it's like, no, she wouldn't have brought it up if she won. And if they would have won the championship again, she would have brought it up and said to all of my haters who have been doing this and doing that, we did it again. So now it's like, we're out. Now all of my haters are happy. First of all, NCAA, y'all could have seeded this totally different. This should have not been an Elite Eight game.
No, it should have been Final Four.
But when you got 12.3 million viewers, I understand what you did, NCAA. Cha-ching!
Cha-ching. All right, man. We're going to move on to the next subject, man. We run a little bit behind, but it's all good. On to the NFL talk. Stephon Diggs has now been traded from the Bills and the Vikings. Is he more now malcontent than great? Is he more now of a malcontent or than a great player? Mr. Davis, what do you think?
To be decided. And what I mean by that is because the Bills, if you remember, the Bills struggled a little bit last year. They couldn't find their identity for a minute, and they trying to win that division, and you had the Dolphins and the Bills, and all of them in that division was kind of struggling to try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're going to the AFC South, my dude. Yep. And we can find out if you malcontent, the mediocre, i.e. O.J. Beckham, Odell Beckham Jr.
Uh-huh.
Or are you going to be that great? Because now you got a rising star in C.J. Stroud. Are you going to make him look good? You going to take this young buck under your wing and be like, yo, or you going to be one of them prima donna type Terrell Owens dudes, give me the ball, my guy. You know what I mean? So we'll see. It's to be determined this upcoming season.
In my opinion, he's already shown himself to be a malcontent. He was put out of the Vikings organization because he was a malcontent. He asked to be traded. He wanted to be out. So, my opinion, he's already shown himself to be a malcontent. And quiet as kept, he did that here too. You know what I'm saying? I remember this past summer, Stephen A. Smith said on First Take, I'm hearing that he's very unhappy with the way the offense been going and felt like we've missed our window. And he was talking about how, you know, he's not getting the ball. All wide receivers scream that. That's normal. Yeah. I'm not going to call that a malcontent because most wide receivers are a little bit arrogant. You got to be to play that position. But I would say because this has happened with two teams, I don't care if he go there and be a model citizen. You've been traded twice, in my opinion, because of that. So, yes, I think he is more of a malcontent. Only difference is C.J. Stroud is a brother. I'm going to see how he act with a brother. Not to make everything race, but let's be real. When he was with the Vikings, he had the quarterback that's for Atlanta. Now, I can't remember his name right now. You like that guy. I forgot his name. Yeah, that was his quarterback. And then he was with my guy for the Bills.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's down with young C.J. Stroud. Let's see how he
and a young black coach.
That's so right. It's totally different. So we're going to see how he respond to this.
And we've talked about culture differences. And if you're tuning in and you think these cats always on some race, no, we've talked about people that's being able to relate. When we talked about Mike Tomlinson and dealing with Russell Wilson and my man Love. But going back down here to Houston, he may be able to relate to the culture. And C.J. Stroud may be able to relate to what's going on. I will tell you this. It's your last stop, my guy. And then you might as well get ready to go down to the UFL in the G League program. Because if you don't get it down here, it ain't going to happen. Because if they're going to choose the future and C.J. Stroud over you or whatever the case may be, UFL, here you come. Who you playing for? Arlington Renegades?
Yeah.
St. Louis Battlehawks? Because you better get it together, partner. Because you ain't got no other stops.
Mr. G said, was he ever great? Maybe for 1 year he was a top three receiver. I actually agree with that, Mr. G. I think he's okay. He's not as good as he act. You know what I'm saying? And he said Nicole Collins and Tank Dell and Diggs not going to get the ball regularly no more. I agree. Diggs going to have to be a role player. He may not like that because they got a good team. They had a good team last year, and they had a good offseason. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think he's probably more malcontent, in my opinion, because he was complaining – look, as good as the Bills was last year, and they went on that great run. Remember, they were 6-6 at first, and then it went on this great run. And after that, he didn't get no more touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? But they was winning. And he still wanted to get up out of there. So go ahead, bro.
We talked about the AFC South. Actually, Houston won the AFC South with 10-7 last year.
That's
so
right.
they can just come out. They could be
with a rookie quarterback last year.
With a rookie quarterback. Coach. And they went 10-7 to AFC South. So
you add
them, we'll see what happens. And this is where offseason is he gonna come up for offseason preparation? What are you gonna look like in practice when y'all practicing for that, when y'all battling for that number one spot? Because as a coach, you could say, number one is already taken. I'm battling for number two. How you gonna handle that? Talking to Diggs. Mm-hmm. You never know, and then you know CJ Stroud can win him over, and he can resurrect his whole career, and hopefully maybe that happens for him. You know, if not, then like I said, UFL, here we come. The Rock will be your new commissioner, and it no longer will be Roger Goodell. That's all I'm saying.
All right, man. On to the next subject. That's good, bro. All right. NBA impressed, depressed, brother. Who are you impressed with in the East? Who are you
impressed in the East? It got to be the Boston Celtics. They the only one words that didn't clinch the playoff spot, bro. Like flat out, the Boston Celtics are the only team in the East who have clinched the playoff spot. Yes. They've clinched the Eastern Conference. It's a wrap. They're good. They're ready to go.
I'm going to have to say the Boston Celtics as well, because not only are they the only team that clinched a playoff spot in the East, they was the first team to clinch a playoff spot, period. Craig, period.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they, what they call it? I can't remember what they call it, but their win percentage is ridiculous. Oh, yeah, they differential. They have 11.5 differential. 11.5 win differential.
Right,
that's ridiculous. Everybody, look, Milwaukee 3.5, Cleveland 3.0, Orlando 2.2, Knicks 4.5. Indiana Pacers 2.5. 11.5. Yeah. Bruh, they win. And I still don't think they're going to win the chip. All right. Depress in the East. But salute, though.
Depress in the East. Look, man, these are my impress and depress from last week. And once again, it's the Raptors, man. They lost again last night. They're tanking. There are teams that you can see right now that are literally tanking.
Definitely tanking.
Trying to get the number one pick. And I don't even know what one word out there. Like, I can't – unless you're trying to go get Purdue center.
And like, why would you do that?
The only way he's going to be good in the NBA, if you already got a system around it that just needs a big man to plug in. Go ahead, bro.
All right, I'm depressed with the Detroit Pistons. Why? Because my team sucks this year. They are pure D trash. Pure D trash because of injuries, and I ain't been loving some of the stuff my coach is doing. But I'm going to be honest, y'all lost to us. For real? Y'all let Jaren Jackson Jr. drop 40 on y'all head. For real? Like,
Yeah, man.
And they have a lot of good players and they're not playing them correctly. And Monty Williams is a fraud. I'm sorry. He's a fraud.
And still got a job, bro.
And still got a job. He should have been fired, dog. He should have been fired. What is wrong? All right, man. Western Conference impressed, bro.
Yo, I know they lost last night, but SGA didn't play against the 76ers. But the Thunder won't quit. And that first place, and we can really talk about it in a minute with the playoffs and play-in, but the Thunder just won't go away, bro. Like, they lost only because SGA didn't play. But the Thunder is – I'm impressed with the Thunder.
SGA and Williams didn't play, and they still almost beat
And they
NBA
still almost beat, yeah.
That's crazy. I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets, man. I think they look championship
ready. I ain't mad at that.
Period. They are so good. Jokic is a beast. And, you know, he had a great game against Wimby, but he still gave Wimby about 40 of them things. You know what I'm saying? Wimby played them good and blocked them five times, but not good enough, homeboy. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets. Depressed in the West, bro.
In the West, the Blazers down the 10-game losing streak. And, again, I want to say, team's tanking. Yeah. Who are you putting with Scoop? Y'all about to scoot y'all tail right on out of there again next year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, my depressor in the West, man, is the San Antonio Spurs. Y'all should not suck. And I know that Wimby is great. He is awesome. But one thing I heard, I was listening to First Take today, and I heard, you know, Mad Dog, the screaming dude from New York guy to be on there with
Stephen A.
Smith. He made me laugh. He's hilarious. Whether it's on purpose or not, he's hilarious. But he made a point that really, really stuck out to me. He was like, man, you telling me Wimby is so good. He's so good. And, you know, they was like, well, he ain't got nothing around them. And he started talking about what happened with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he came. And he didn't have nothing around him neither. And that team went from 20 wins to, like, 50 wins. You know what I'm saying? The only thing I say about Wimby, man, it's not translating into wins. And when you lose all the time, and I understand you tanking for better players, but losing is a mentality. Your mentality got to change into a winner. Like, you can be awesome player that loses. Like, that's what we thought about Booker till some players got around him when we found out, okay, he's a real good player. But I don't know, man. That's a lot of losing, dog. Yeah. That's a lot of losing.
You know what I call
you
him.
You a versatile center. You know what I'm saying? But you ain't creating a lot of wins, bro.
Yeah.
That team is trash, but it shouldn't be that trash. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so to Mad Dog, you know what I call Wimby, the most talented loser. Yeah. And everybody be cracking up when I say this, that he's the most talented loser. But his teammates, and you've said this, C, and this is why I disagree with Mad Dog, his teammates ain't trying to give him the ball.
Now, this is true. I will agree with that. They do be freezing him out.
They freeze him out and trying to be super. Hey, bro,
he is not that.
like my man with the different color hair.
Yeah.
He'll score 32 he'll score 32, and the next thing you know, he think he the man. No, bro, it's not about you.
Yeah, it's not.
Just worry about your hair color dyes. It's all about Wimby. You dig what I'm saying?
But see, I'm gonna put that on. Before we move on, I'm gonna put that on Pop, man. Pop, and you got nice in your old age. Pop used to wouldn't go for that. Pop used to cuss everybody out.
Everybody.
I don't know what's up with that. He ain't got a little
Pop
soft,
giving
man.
Hugs at the end of games. I don't know what's
you
going doing, on.
Why you trading jerseys? You the coach? I'm kidding, bro.
Yeah. Something ain't right with Pop.
Something ain't right with Pop. All right, man. Next subject. The women's NCAA tournament drew 12.3 million viewers for the Elite Eight. Are they now appointment TV? What you think?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, but here's the thing. NIL deals have done this. Mm-hmm. And the WNBA, here's the difference between the WNBA, NBA, NCAA, men and women. NCAA women don't depend on the men to promote their brand.
No.
You dig what I'm saying? At all. It's strictly the women, the women, the women.
Yes.
And I'm going to give a shout out to the OGs of the women's game. The Candace Parkers, the Dawn Staleys, the Rebecca Lobos, the Catchings, the commentators who played the game, Agumake. I watched Agumake get so excited about that game just on her commentary at the halftime. And then when the game was over, they have excitement about that college game that it doesn't translate. So, they are appointment TV. Because they playing ball right now, man.
Yeah.
Name me five players from men's college basketball right now that you think gonna do something in the NBA. I'll wait.
Yeah, I ain't
you can name me five females right now though that's gonna do something when they go to the WNBA.
Yes, sir.
And that's the point I'm making right now. They are peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I think it is appointment TV. Now my concern is of what happens when the big superstar, the Curry version in women's college basketball goes to the WNBA. I think a lot of her fans gonna go with her to the WNBA. They all be it. I think Indiana Fever has the number one pick, so they all be in Indiana, you know, with her jersey on. But I think they have built up a nice following over the last 2 years. You think about South Carolina don't have a superstar player, but they undefeated. The superstar for South Carolina is the coach. You know what I'm saying? They have a whole squad. But they don't have a player. But all the other teams has a player. Like UConn has the Paige Buckers girl, I believe, who's very, very nice, that was going right at it with Juju. Now, what I respect about her and Juju, what I respect about both of them, they guarded each other. No. Ain't no switches. I'm guarding her. And she's like, no. I'm guarding her.
They went at it.
Now, what they should – now, you know, that couldn't happen with Angel Reese and Caitlin, because Angel Reese is a big girl, you know, for basketball. She's not really a guard.
She's 6'3", 6'4", if I'm not mistaken.
And, you know, what's the name? Caitlin Clark is 6 foot. So, it really didn't work out for that. But back to the question at hand, I really, really think it is, and I think women's basketball is here to stay because more people are going to stay into it. They get girls to watch it, which is great. And which is funny, WNBA don't really have women that watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, women don't really – it's not like pulling women in. It's pulling in other people. And I think the best thing for the WNBA and the best thing for the NCAA for women was Caitlin Clark, period. She was the best thing. She's the best thing for both. Caitlin Clark was one of the best things for women's college basketball. UConn has been awesome for like 10 years. They ain't never had these type of ratings. So this one superstar then brought everybody to college basketball, and they're all going to go to the WNBA. It's going to be the same thing. And I think it's good, man. I think it's great for their sport. Go ahead, bro.
I mean, the $12.3 million just goes to show you, and it's the love of the game. And you best believe it's March Madness fever. It's not just women watching this. We watched it. You know what I mean? We watched it. Casual fans watched it because they marketed it the right way. I just went on the soapbox about villain versus good versus evil. But it was a marketing tool unfortunate. It worked. You know what I mean? As far as Juju and the young lady from UConn, Paige I can't Beckers. Pronounce her name right. I always mess it up. Her last name. But my point that I'm making is this. You wanted to see Juju Watkins beat that NCAA. They put these records up there. Like, they could beat the record, and this is UConn. Mm-hmm. And now when you talk about UConn, you're not talking about Coach G. You're talking about the players. It used to be all about Coach G. Coach G.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Now it's about the players. And every now and then you see a clip of Coach G. And I'm loving that. It's no longer about the coaches. You know what I mean? Like when Pat Summitt was alive, you know, rest in peace or whatnot, it was about her. Even though she had all these great players that came through, it was about the coaches. Now it's about the players and they stepping up and showing out.
They are showing out, man. And listen, I know this is not a debate for you, and I know a lot of people that's been watching women's college basketball for a long, long time don't want to accept Caitlin Clark as, like, great. But the records don't lie. Is she a perfect player? No. Like I said, I don't love the way she dribbles. Her dribble is real Bob Cousy-ish. But
he made it to the NBA Hall of Fame. He did.
But she got a ratchet in her hand, boy. She shoot that thing off the dribble from the left. You know what I'm saying? Off the screen. She has great court vision. A lot of passes. A lot of those scores that she had her team, she was setting them up where they were layups. It was so many layups, just beating them down the court. The unathletic team was beating the athletic team down the court. That's strategy.
Yeah, man.
That is a player throwing you open. So, you know, hey, salute to her, man. Very, very good. It was a very good tournament. All right, last one, debate for you for tonight. NBA play-in and playoff picture. What you got on that, bro?
Hey, so right now, this is what's going on. Virtually every seed outside of the Celtics, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Every seed is up open. So seeds 2-5 in the East are separated. This is how it is going. Seeds 2-5 in the East are separated by 3.5 games. Seeds 6-8 in the East are separated by only 2.5 games. Over in the West, seeds 1-3 are separated by a game or a half a game, because now Nuggets are up a half a game because Thunder lost last night. Yeah. And then seeds 4-6 are separated by 2.5 games, and seeds 7-9 separated by 2 games. This is what it comes down to. Outside of Boston, nobody's safe, and anybody can get it. If it started today, this is what it looks like. It'll be Lakers and Warriors at 9-10, Kings and Suns at 7-8. Of course, you go Nuggets got the number one seed. Clippers and Mavs will be in the first round. Thunders and Pelicans in the first round. The Timberwolves will wait on the 7th seed, which would be the winner of the Kings and Suns. Over in the East, Celtics number one. 4-5 matchup is the Magic and Knicks. 3-6 matchup is the Cavaliers and the Pacers. And then you got the Bucks waiting on the number 7 seed, which would be the winner between the Heat and the Sixers right now. I'm excited. 2 weeks left in this season, and I don't know if my boy is going to pop up to the number 6 seed so they can play the Cavaliers, because the Heat kind of hit or miss, and this is what they do around this time. Yeah. But the scary team to me, and I'll let you go see because I've been long-winded, I'm going to give it to you. The scary team for me right now are the Lakers. And the Lakers are 43 and 33 right now, right? They can easily bump up to that 8th spot if the Suns, and even as far as the 7, to where the Sacramento Kings are at and not even be in the play-in. It's about to be interesting in these playoffs.
To piggyback on you about the Lakers, man, the thing about the Lakers, think about last season when the Lakers played my team. My team could have beat any team, most of them teams in the list. Not the Lakers, though, because of the size. That's the problem. If the Lakers played the Oklahoma City Thunder, the biggest man they have is Chet Holmgren. In comparison to AD, who's bigger?
Right.
Who has more experience? Who's been there before? All of Oklahoma City Thunder's team has zero playoff games, period. Other than dude came from Charlotte, originally from the Jazz. I forgot his name. Played at Butler in college, hit the big shot. I can't remember his name.
Is Haywood down there now?
Haywood,
yeah.
So he's the one got some time, and I think Bismack had a few games. And Shai Gilgeous had a couple of games because he was with the Clippers at first, and then he came over. He had that one season where they went to the playoffs, and when Chris Paul was there, he took them to the playoffs, if y'all remember, right? But they don't have a lot of experience. That's the thing. Now, if the Lakers play the Timberwolves, I think Timberwolves can beat them. But if the Lakers end up playing the Thunder finna go home, in my opinion. In my opinion, yeah. Because, like, yeah. I said, it's just the size thing, man. And that's interesting to me. On the Eastern side, man, I will say this. What's interesting to me is the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
If they can get Anunoby back and what's the other dude's name?
Randall.
They get Anunoby and Randall back, they're going to be a problem to get out, dog. I'm sorry. That is a tough team. And Jalen Brunson is in God mode as a basketball player right now. This dude is beyond hooping. He is beyond hooping. This dude is – going nuts out there, dog. So, yeah, that's my thing for the East, bro.
Yeah, if the Knicks stay where they at, and then we can kind of wrap this up, I can see the Pacers beating the Cavaliers because Mitchell is not Mitchell. If we go on these matchups, I can see the Magic's beating the Knicks, and I'm just not sold on the Bucks. If the Bucks end up playing the Heat or the 76ers, well, the 76ers will have to win in order for them to play the Bucks. I can't see the Bucks. It's just not. It's no camaraderie there, man. Dame and Giannis don't mix over in the West, and that's just my opinion. Over in the West, I don't know if the Thunder can beat the Pelicans. Zion is on a different level right now, bro. Mm-hmm. He beasting out now. Mm-hmm. If Ingram stays hurt the way that he is, it's no haps. And I think the Mavs can beat the Clippers. I think Kyrie and Luka can take care of them boys.
Mm-hmm. But you know, as for the West, man, I still got the defending champs coming out. Because Lakers, I think they can beat all them teams. They have a chance to beat all them teams because of the size and because they have a LeBron. A lot of people ain't got a LeBron. Even a 39-year-old LeBron is still a LeBron.
Yeah.
But all that don't matter when they play Denver. We saw that last year. They swept them boys. AD, yeah, AD turned back into
Mr. Glass.
AD, when he played against Jokic. He can't do nothing with Jokic. He can't do nothing with Jokic. All right, man, let's get to the one word today before we get on up out of here. This one word. No. Of the day. All right, the one word of the day is a player on the Kansas City Chiefs, wide receiver by the name of
Number
one wide receiver. You just won a chip, and you acted like a whole.
One word out in these streets. Listen, man, if y'all don't know this story, Rasheed White Rice, his leased Lamborghini was seen fleeing the scene of it was supposed to be driven only by him.
Mm-hmm.
He's cooperating with authorities. It hasn't been confirmed if he was driving his Lamborghini or not, but it was a 4-car accident that he fled the scene and left about 4 people injured. And that's all we have right now. But the fact that if you lease the Lamborghini and you're the only one supposed to drive it and you let somebody else drive it and this happened, you are one word. If it was you and you caused the accident and you fled the scene, you definitely a one word. So he's our one word today, no matter how you look at it. Well, it wasn't him. Well, according to this company, excuse me, he the only one word supposed to been driving.
That's right.
And you know how we one words do. You can drive it, cuz. You good. Hey, man, don't mess up. You know I'm the only person. Man, I got you, bruh. Yeah, all right.
That's exactly what happened. And then he fled the scene. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. After something happened. Yeah. That's real. Yeah. That's the real problem. That's weak. Fled the scene. Look, bro, you got the bread. Handle your business. Be a man about it. But that man, I don't know who drove it. I don't know what happened.
You know unless he fled the scene because he was either intoxicated or drug impaired.
Well, he was either high. And, you know, being high is legal in a lot of places. So maybe it was something else.
Not an NFL star, brother.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Rasheed Rice, congratulations. You are the one word of the day.
One word of the day.
And brother, my brother, you earned it.
The fact that you crashed the Lambo, you earned it. Anyways, have you ever thought I really enjoy what these guys are doing with this podcast? I cannot help support them. I cannot be a blessing to them. Look, man, hit the like, subscribe, and notification button. If you haven't hit that like button yet, what is wrong with you, man? Go ahead and hit the like button. Even if you already subscribed, at least hit the like button. Give us some type. Hit the notification so you'll know whenever we go live, because sometimes we do these impromptu shows. If you want to, you know, sow a seed, it's tax season. Tax, I think the deadline next week, but some of you homeowners have already filed your taxes. So go ahead and sow a seed. You dig what I'm saying? Cash sign, not the same podcast at that Cash App, or notthesamepodcast.com/support. We appreciate y'all sliding through and getting in the comments. That's also another way you can support us, two one words, because we really appreciate when y'all slide through.
We really do. Well, with that being said, man, we'll be back next week with another Music and Faith show. Well, tomorrow we'll be back. It ain't Thursday yet. I'm already on Friday. We'll be back tomorrow with another Music and Faith show. And then next week, we'll be back with another sports show again. It will be just two shows next week. It won't be like this week where we had three. It'll be just two shows.
Right, right.
So, but for tomorrow, make sure you tune in for the latest and greatest CHH music and positive music, as well as some dope topics. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I guarantee it's going to be something to listen to. It's going to be dope.
It'll be dope.
Something to make you think. You know what I mean? With that being said, man, I'm C. Micah.
I'm Robert Dean.
We out, man. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Strength, so we flexible, flexible, flexible. Gave us the power.